sorry we wasn't here last Thursday, buddy Terry. Our trip was slightly longer than yours. It's good to see everybody, though. It does feel like we have not been in service for a little while, and it's good to be back. My bass was missing me. Maybe I was missing the bass. I don't know. Well, you guys are quiet tonight. Oh, you don't like it when I talk that way, do you? Oh, man. Well, this is the last service of the year. We haven't been in three services so far. So I figure, if my math goes correct, we got two more days till next year. So I might as well just preach till next year, right? There's some grins, and then there's some, oh, he may be serious out there. I will not do that to you tonight. I know that does get tough, but I will forego and try to share something with us tonight that I trust will be helpful, beneficial, as we're departing out of 2022, headed into 2023, and how many feels like this year has just flown by. The older you get, the faster it goes. I think part of it is the older you get, the more senile we get, and we just don't remember. So, no. I'm only 36, and I already feel like some days I get up and I can't remember what I did 2 hours ago. Year goes really fast when you can't remember what you was doing. But time continues to march on at the same pace it has always marched. The Bible says there's nothing new underneath the sun. I believe in a literal 6-day, 24-hour period creation. I believe when God started time on this earth, the time has always been a 24-hour cycle. There's never been any more time added or time taken away. There was two times in the Bible where time, well, one time when time was stopped, and then another time in which it was turned back. But other than that, time has continued as God has always instituted it. What's wonderful about God's creation is that when he put it in motion and he said it was good, it's just always stayed that way. You see, things that change is not because God's changed. It's people have changed. Times have changed. Time hasn't, but times have. And it seems that we try to put more into 24 hours than we used to. And it seems that inevitably that's kind of a necessary mode of survival. I guess I'll go ahead and start my timer. This is just the prelude to the sermon, but I better count it on my time. Isaac, is the timer going back there? Okay, well, I better start my timer then too. But the fact remains that while it seems that we go faster and faster through time, time still continues on God's clock and on God's schedule. And each thing that God has put in his word has a time and a place and a schedule. Now, how many enjoy schedules? Lucas likes schedules. I like schedules. Generally, when I make them, they change in about 2 hours. My wife's like, what are you going to do today? If she asks me that the night before, and then the morning of, is generally two different things. Sometimes I'll leave the house, headed one direction, and I get a phone call, and I'm headed another direction. Sometimes schedules are hard to keep, but God has things on a schedule. Now, just bear with me for just a minute. Do you think every time is fixed on God's schedule? I don't think everything is perfectly fixed. Personally, this is my theology. I think God looks at the hearts and minds of men to determine his timetable. Now, God moves in the hearts of men to create his timetable. But I do believe that we are the determining factor in his return. And there are some safeguards found within the Word of God that speaks about his return. And we are the determining factor in his return. So I want you to keep that in your mind as we get into the sermon. You can go chew on that later. I can see some of you, I don't know if I agree with his theology on that or not. That's okay. You don't have to agree. You just got to listen because I got the mic. I've heard preachers say things across the pulpit, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sure my eyebrow went way up here, and I'm like, what? That's okay. You go study that. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 27 in verse number 4 this evening. You can stand and stretch your legs for the reading of the word. Psalms chapter 27 verse 4. I just want to read the first part of it. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." I want to read it one more time. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God, Lord, that we're gathered here tonight, Lord, in your house, Lord, on this last midweek service, Lord, of 2022. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll anoint me to minister the message that you've laid on my heart. I pray to God, use it to edify us, encourage us, challenge us, Lord, in your house. I pray to God, Lord, as we're coming to the close of one year headed into the next, that I pray, Lord, that you'll bring a new realization to our minds, Lord, of the importance, Lord, of seeking your face. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise tonight. Meet us in these altars tonight. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I just want to minister for just a little bit on this thought. The importance of one thing. The importance of one thing. The psalmist here, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Gary Keller said this, "What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary?" What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? Now I realize we're coming off Christmas. It's a funny message to preach about one thing, the importance of one thing. How many kids out here had one thing on your Christmas list this year? In fact, I got in trouble for only having one thing on my Christmas list. It seems that in our day and our time and the way that we have geared our lives and the way that we are geared to work, that really multiple things seem important. Have you ever woke up one morning, you got up out of bed and you sit down and maybe you're drinking your coffee, you're going over your day's activities, and you begin to make a list of importance things to be done? And generally, whatever's hollering the loudest is number one. And then you begin to rate things all the way down to number 10. You know, whatever is number 10 on your list, that probably doesn't get done that day. That gets pushed to the next. But as we begin to look at things, we don't really look at things as just singular. We look at them as things. Multiple responsibilities, multiple places to be, multiple people to deal with, multiple goals that we're trying to accomplish. And the way that our society is geared is it praises the task of being busy. And the person that can do more with less is deemed, well, that they're good. They're great. They're fantastic. You know, and it's one of those things that as we, our society has geared us to be this way. This is why the year goes faster, because we move at such a rapid pace that we lose focus of time. We lose focus of space. we lose focus of progress in trying to deem how many important things we have in our life. Now, as a kid, Weston, what's your most important thing in life? Oh, I don't know what was suggested there. It has to be clean in his room. He likes these little exploding balls. I don't know exactly what they're called. What are they called, Weston? He can't even remember now. He's got these toys, and he really likes them. And he took his money that he had, and he's bought him a case for them so that they all have their little spots in this case. And you know, those things are important to him. Now let's move up. Titus, what's your most important thing? As a toy. See, now we hit ages where we begin to classify importance. You see, he understands that now there are levels of importance. Then we get to Sister Sarah. What's your most important thing? It's me. As we become adults, adult things become more important. And then as you become a Christian, ministry things have importance. What the psalmist began to say here is out of everything, David had one thing that he was looking for. Now, I want to tell us the importance of just one thing. In 1 Kings 12 and 30, he says this, "And this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan." What's talking about here is Jeroboam. The kingdom had split. Judah and Israel had split. And Jeroboam was now king of Israel. And Israel and Judah was going to fight. And God said, "No, you're not going to fight." So they decided not to fight. Everybody went to their own homes. But how many knows that the place of worship was at Jerusalem? It's where the temple was. And so Jeroboam said, "Well, all the people are going to go to Jerusalem to worship God, and they're not going to want to come home. They're going to want to stay up there." And so he made an idea of a place to worship that didn't require going all the way to Jerusalem. Seemed like a great idea, didn't it? Seemed like a really good idea. It was going to save the people money. It's going to save them time. It was going to keep them there. And it was always just a great idea. And so he made some golden calves. Where do we find that? Oh, yeah, that was a reoccurrence there. And they made a place to worship here. And what ended up becoming a problem for the children of Israel, what started as a good idea became a major problem. Because they didn't stop with just one place of worship. They said, "Well, now that we got this place of worship, we'll make a place of worship over here, and we'll make a place of worship over there, and we'll make a place of worship in the high places and in the low places and down the road and over the holler there." And they have places of worship all over the place. And this is what the Bible says. This thing, one thing became a sin. This is what I like to call the creeping sin. You see, we look at things, we look at opportunities and problems, situations, whatever it is. We look at them in multiples. But the Word of God looks at them as singular, one thing. In Luke 18:22, we find this. "Now when Jesus heard these things," I like how things, it's just things are all in the Word of God. "And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." The rich young ruler had things. He had accomplished things. He had many things, but he lacked one thing. And that one thing was of greater importance than all the things that he had. Was the money the problem? No, it wasn't the money. It was the creeping sin. It was the love of money. That was the one thing. the importance of one thing. So we see here that just one little thing, if left alone, if one little thing that is left untouched, or one little thing that seems to start as a good idea, if it's left to itself, can become a big problem. How many's heard this? Keep the main thing the main thing. I don't even really know where that phrase came from, but I remember it from years ago. I'm pretty sure Dad's even preached a message entitled that. He's had to have. Keeping the main thing the main thing. What are we talking about? He didn't say keep the main things the main things. He did not. He said keep the main thing. Singular. Thing. One. One thing. Only one thing. We find here in Luke 10 and 42, but one thing is needful. Okay, I want to stop right there. Just don't read the rest of the verse. Don't continue in the story. Just let your mind, what one thing is needful? I could go around this room right now and I could ask you, what one thing is needful? And you would have different answers because you have ranges of importance in your mind. You know, Sister Sarah may say, one thing is needful, a nap. A nap is needful. Sister Lindsay said, amen to that. Their answers may be the same, you know. Somebody said, well, $1 million is needful. That one thing is needful. Well, I ain't going to get off into that. But just one thing is needful. This is what Jesus said. He said, one thing is needful. He was talking to Martha, who was busy about many things. It says, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It's better to do one thing well than 10 things poorly. You see, in our society today, we generally classify our success rate by how many things we have, or how many things we're doing. You go to church, you know, they got an activity for this, and they got a club for that, and they got this going on this night, and this going on this night, and this going on this night, and they got so many things going on. No lack of things to do. But what did Jesus, he just said, one thing is needful. I'm headed somewhere if you'll just give me enough time to get there. One thing is needful. Multitasking takes a toll. This is the joke at my house. I don't multitask very well. I am a very one-track minded person. But I get easily distracted. And I like to call that multitasking. Multitasking is when you go from one thing, leave it half done, to the next thing half done, to the next thing half done, to the next thing half done. You multitasked. Some people can talk on the phone and text with their other hand somebody else. I cannot do that. I may be talking on the phone. If I get a text, I quit talking. Why do I quit talking? Because I'm reading. So I'm kind of a one-tracked mind. That being said, I have capacity to keep a lot of tracks going in my mind at any given time. But multitasking takes a toll. At home or at work, distractions lead to poor choices, painful mistakes, and unnecessary stress. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. One thing. If you're not careful as a Christian, you'll multitask your Christianity. What I mean by that is you will juggle it with all the rest of your life. Your Christian walk, your walk with God, just becomes one of your tasks to do. And when your walk with God becomes just part of your task to do and the many things that you are busy about, your multitasking takes a toll on your Christian walk. And you begin to suffer distractions, which leads to what? Poor choices. How many enjoys poor choices? Now, we don't ever enjoy the results of poor choices. Many times we make poor choices, but we never have rejoiced over the results of poor choices. Poor choices lead to what? Painful mistakes. How many enjoys making mistakes? No, we don't. And you know what? I've learned that sometimes mistakes are part of progress. But repeated mistakes are not progress. That is regression. That is downward spiral. That is going in reverse. How many times have we heard, "I'm just so stressed out"? Do you know that the child of God really doesn't need to be stressed? Christ said, "Consider the lilies. They don't toil. They don't worry. They don't worry what they're going to wear tomorrow. You know who clothes them?" He said, "God clothes them. They're out there growing, looking good, blowing in the sunshine. They get wet when it rains. Sometimes lightning fries a few of them. But they don't worry." But yet, it seems that in our society today, that the Christian is unnecessarily stressed. But we don't have to be stressed. This is where I'm headed with this. You see, the psalmist said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." You know what causes stress? Is when you're trying to seek for more than one thing. You see, there's importance in knowing what that one thing needs to be. What the utmost importance of one thing is for the child of God. This one thing that he was desiring to seek after, he said, "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." How many's ever got out of bed on a Sunday morning? It's like, "Oh, I'm tired. Why do we go to church every Sunday?" That may be for the ones that go to church every Sunday, but if you're not the ones that go to church every Sunday, this isn't for you. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing a little bit. I'm being a little sarcastic up here. It's okay. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." This is the same person who wrote, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He's not speaking to, he is speaking to go into the literal place, but it's not what brought him joy. What brought him joy and what he was saying here, he said, "The one thing that I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, is to dwell in God's presence every day." One thing. He says, "And to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." The importance of one thing. That one thing for a child of God is to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, the most important thing that you need to have is an up-to-date relationship with God. To know that you rejoice to be in his presence, not dreading coming into his house, not dreading being in his presence, not scared because, "Hey, man, I've got too many stressors, I've made too many mistakes, I've made too many poor choices." Now, that's not the point of what I'm making here. The point I'm making is get your priorities straight. Realize once again the importance of one thing. Just because it looks like you got a lot going on in your Christian walk, just because it looks like you got lots of activities to engage in, does not necessarily mean that you're doing a wise use of your time as a Christian. Because if you're failing to focus on the one thing, making sure that you enjoy dwelling in God's presence, that you enjoy worshiping him, and that you come to him for your advice. That one thing right there will change your life. Now I want to talk about the benefits of God's one thing. Joshua 23 and 14 says, And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. While it is important for us to seek that one thing, can I tell you a little bit about his one thing? The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of, and I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit, but thoughts of goodness. Thoughts of blessings. Thoughts of protection. Thoughts of wisdom. Thoughts of guidance. What we find here is Joshua is talking. He says, you know in your heart and your souls that not one thing that God has said has not been done. Can I tell you this? The importance of one thing. If God never does anything else for you throughout the rest of 2022, if he answered one prayer for you, then he has done his one thing in your life. But I could tell you this, if you'll begin to think back to all the things that God has done for you over this past year and time again where he's come through and he's made a way for you and he's made a change in hearts and lives. We've seen people saved in this church this year. We've seen people healed in this church this year. Can I tell you this, that there's been some things that God's done in my life that I know he is faithful and that he will continue to do it. Joshua said, this one thing, God did it. I can tell you from experience that there is more than one thing. But God likes to get specific in your life. And God sometimes likes to name them one by one. We sing that little song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And it goes way up at that part, and I can't go that high. But count your blessings. What do we find there? We know that God and his promises do not fail. And those one thing, there's nothing that you can point to. If God said he was going to do it, then he has done it. David also wrote this, Psalms 37. And Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano this evening. Psalms 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why are the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord? Because he has learned the importance of one thing. One thing have I desired, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to tell you this, no matter where you're stepping right now, no matter which direction it seems that you're headed, if you are focusing on the one thing, then walk confidently in the path God's put in front of you. The times in which we falter, the times in which we hesitate, the times in which we are unsure and unsteady generally stems from the fact that we have not been focusing on the one thing of importance. We have been letting too many things crowd our mind, and we can no longer hear the voice of God. But what I can tell you is that the good man, well, he's good because he's been focusing on that one thing, that most important thing. Well, when he steps, he can walk confidently, Brother Tim, because he knows wherever he steps, God ordained that step. He says that he delighteth in his way. God loves to watch you walk in the path he's put in front of you. He loves to see his children put one foot in front of the other confidently, because they have learned how to focus on one thing. What did I read at the beginning? What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier were unnecessary. This one thing I desire of the Lord, to dwell in His house, to be in His presence, to be in His will, though He fall. And sometimes you are going to stumble. Sometimes you're going to fall. Even the steps of a good man sometimes slip. Sometimes we walk so confidently, we lose sight of the main thing, and we stumble and we fall. But because we have learned the importance of that one thing, He shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. This is what's wonderful about this scripture. Because the steps of the good man, they're ordered by the Lord. And God delights in His way. And when he walks confidently. But every now and then he gets his eyes. You know, there's lots of things in this world. Sometimes you get distracted. When I'm driving, and I've told this before, if I get to gawking, you know where the car goes? It goes wherever I'm looking. It's a good car. I mean, it drives exactly where I look. Sometimes the good man gets busy, gets too much multitasking going on, too much juggling, and loses sight of the main goal and the main purpose of what God's called him to do. And he falls. How many's ever seen somebody trip, fall, and I mean face plant? Just boom! How many's ever been there? I've been there. Just walking along and just boom, next thing you know, you're flat on your face. Well, see, that doesn't happen to the good man. Because he's not utterly cast down. He stumbles, and he's headed down, and then God gets his hand and yanks him back up. I want to encourage you tonight, if you fail, God's there to lift you right back up. David said this, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Not one thing has ever been lacking from the child of God's life. He is ever merciful, talking about God, and lendeth, man, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. I want to tell you tonight, as you're standing to your feet, as you depart this year and you head into next year, focus on the important thing. One thing should be your desire, and that above all else, that's to be in the center of God's will. For your relationship with God to be up to date. That stressors, pressures, oppressors all be pushed back into their proper spots. I can tell you this, you're going to deal with pressures. You're going to deal with things. You're going to deal with problems. You're going to deal with temptations. But can I tell you tonight, when you get focused on Him, when you have eyes only for Jesus, when your thoughts are only for Him, when nothing else begins to distract you, I can tell you this, that your steps will be ordered by the Lord. And as you walk into 2023, you can walk confidently because you know wherever the path goes, whichever way it leads, whatever direction God has you headed in, you are walking confidently because you have made Him your one thing. Amen. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's begin to have a time of prayer. I want to encourage you tonight. If you've lost sight of that one thing, repent and once again make Him your thing of importance. If God is not first and foremost in your heart and your life, make it right tonight. There are times in our lives as Christians where we lose sight of the importance of the one thing. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you've lost sight of it, tonight's a good night as you close this year out to renew your vision, refresh your sight, and begin to gain your focus once again.